boy, we are going to break down the algorithm myth. Let's cue that intro and get this episode going. Hey, I'm Rachel Peterson, marketing expert and queen of social media. The question entrepreneurs are always asking is, how do I make social media work? How do I make money with social media for my clients and for myself? We're going to break it down on this episode of Social Media Secrets. Hey guys, it's me, Rachel. So today I did my very first Clubhouse room, and it was really fun, mostly because I was with a couple people that I adore. And I just have to shout out Josh Latimer, him and his wife Ashley. I love them. Just such incredible, genuine people. And Krista Mayshore, thank you so much for hosting this room. It was so fun. You probably don't listen to this, but oh well. And Jeff Brewer, Brian Bowman, like so many people came into this room who were amazing people, and it was fun. But the question came up several times when I was on the call actively as I think it's called a panelist, and when I wasn't, I was just kind of listening in later on when I left the call. But people were asking about the algorithm, and I do get this question quite a bit, and people always say, like, what? How do I beat the algorithm? The algorithm doesn't want my content to do well. And I want to talk a bit about it because there's so many misconceptions, there are so many myths, legends, rumors about algorithms. And first and foremost, before we talk about this, I want to be clear that there are certain platforms and certain topics that don't fall into what I'm talking about on this episode. I want to be super clear about that. Number one, I'm not talking about topics that consistently get shut down and suppressed on platforms. That could include political content, that could include like breastfeeding, anxiety, depression, body modification. Like, there's a bunch of different things that get suppressed for being like kind of against the terms and conditions of the platform, but also sometimes it's not communicated and it just doesn't seem fair. I'm also not talking about issues with specific platforms. I'm not going to name drop right now, but there are certain platforms that do have a history of having unfair treatment towards disabled creators, creators that according to their internal documents are considered less than ideal. I hate to even say that because I hate that that's a thing. Sometimes BIPOC creators get unfair treatment from certain platforms, and that is an internalized thing. I know women's bodies that are not considered ideal, people of different ages, there is some element of complete discrimination that happens internally within certain platforms. I'm not talking about that in this platform. So if you listen to this and you're like, well, how come, and you fall into one of those categories for being a content creator or a business that's trying to get your message out there, just please pay attention to that first. Okay, so by the way, that does remind me. I do wonder if at some point we should talk about those things. I think it's a really important conversation. I wonder if it would be a good conversation for Clubhouse. Anyways, I digress. Okay, so the thing is, there is a group of people who are considered growth hackers. And growth hackers can be brilliant humans. There's like the group that's the growth hackers that was very popularized by people like Ryan Holiday, Tim Ferriss, and it was a really brilliant movement. It was people who learned what the specifications of a platform are and then learned how to game it for the purpose of growth. And it's a legit movement. It is a legit skill set to learn how to game an algorithm to an extent. And then there's this flip side, this totally different side, which would include, I'm even hesitant towards grouping these people together, but I'm going to anyways, two people who fundamentally are very polar opposite in their their approach towards life, but Gary Vaynerchuk and Seth Godin. And I would consider both of them more purists of content creation, meaning they come at content creation from a different standpoint. They don't necessarily believe in growth hacking. I know Seth definitely doesn't. Gary doesn't focus on it, but sometimes he will bring growth hackers in to an extent to support him with growth. But the reason that growth hackers are so different from that, I don't know what the right way to consider those people would be. I'm just going to say content creators. I almost want to call them purists, but I'm going to call them content creators. The reason that these two audiences are so different is because they're both looking at social media in different ways. Growth hackers are looking at what are all the things that I can do behind the scenes that trigger the platform to put my content in front of people that sometimes even trick people into following me. There's a growth hacker who did several different growth hacking techniques, and I'm always up for trying stuff, even if I don't actually agree with it. I like to try stuff. I'm a huge fan of that. And they'll do things like using bots to send you messages on Instagram to get you to follow other accounts. They'll do things like, and I've never done that, but I know a lot of people who have. They'll do things like putting a circle around your profile picture to make it look like you're live, or even photoshopping the word live onto your profile picture somewhere so that people want to click on your profile. And some of the tactics and techniques can be clickbaity at times. Sometimes it can feel like a trick. Sometimes it's effective marketing. But that alone isn't enough. Growth hackers, I would say, are the people who really, really, really understand the algorithm first and foremost. But a growth hacker without a valuable message and without great content isn't going to succeed long term. They might be a flash in the pan and then they might disappear. The other side, the content creators who focus more on creating quality content, their belief is if you put out consistent quality content with a good positive message that serves people or content that helps others, your content is always going to perform. And they almost have, as weird as this is, a disregard for the algorithm. In fact, I know that for a fact. You hear Gary Vaynerchuk quite a bit talk about, like, you should be putting out way more content. You should be posting 26 times a day. Like, just push out content like crazy. And if your message is good enough, it'll work. Now, who do I agree with? Because one completely factors in the algorithm and the other almost entirely disregards it. So is the algorithm real? Well, yeah, to an extent, it's absolutely real. Yet Seth Godin is a premier advisor, mentor, teacher, thought leader when it comes to excellent content creation. And I don't think that Gary Vaynerchuk's content isn't seen, even if he doesn't always pay attention to what's going on with the algorithm. So I want to break down kind of where I stand and my thoughts about the algorithm and why what most people believe about the algorithm is totally wrong. The algorithm's job on each social media platform is very simple. It is to serve up content to people that makes them read or watch, makes them engage, makes them share, and or makes them stay on the platform. That is the main goal of the algorithm. Every single platform is fighting for our time. Every single one of us has the same 24 hours in a day. And the interesting thing is that if you're not spending your time on TikTok, you may be spending your time on YouTube. And what determines whether or not you're going to spend more time on a specific platform is how accurate their algorithm is. So for example, I know that YouTube has a great algorithm. In fact, I'm going to look at my YouTube dashboard right now. I love doing this. And I can see, like, there's a Wonder Woman fan edit video. There's the Hollywood Reporter roundtables. I'm obsessed with those. Obsessed. There is Brian Scott meditations, the Mulligan Brother motivational videos. Then there's a bunch of interviews with entrepreneurs and some music I like. There's Gary Vaynerchuk, of course, because I do like his videos. It's so fascinating to me how effective YouTube is. I feel like they're really incredibly effective at curating your experience on the platform in a way that makes you want to spend more time there. And I love YouTube. The only one that has ever competed fully with YouTube for me, and you probably have your own platforms where you're like, oh, this is so on point. I love my experience here. It's like it's catered to me, which, side note, that's what the algorithm does, is TikTok. And that one was dangerous for me for a while until I started to recognize by looking at my screen time reports how much time I was spending on TikTok and how much of my time was spent watching videos that didn't benefit me throughout the day. So I had to be careful to intentionally turn it off. Now, do I believe in the algorithm? Yes, I do believe it's real. I believe it's the exact purpose that I just shared with you guys. But the interesting thing is I believe in a combination approach, which is almost to an extent a more holistic view of algorithms and content creation. I believe that growth hackers without a valuable message and without quality content fall flat. I believe that for most quality content creators, they don't get the same exposure as Gary or Seth because they don't take into account the algorithm slash what's happening. Now, here's how I want you guys to start to see the algorithm, because like I said, it's different than how most people see it. For most people, when you put out content, the social media platform is either going to reward you by putting that content in front of more people. And in case you're listening to this and saying, but not Facebook, not Instagram, not Twitter, false. There's potential to grow on every single platform at any given point. It is a lot harder on Facebook, but it is still absolutely possible. Not the same virality that is commonplace as there used to be, but with the exception of Facebook pages, almost every other platform ultimately can grow, even beyond when you think the window for growth has passed, because putting out quality content is ultimately going to attract an audience. Now, if you couple that with understanding the algorithm and what the algorithm, generally speaking, wants to see, you are going to make sure that you end up on the dashboards or the feeds or the discover or the explore of the people who are most likely to benefit from your content. The biggest problem I see, and the issue that most people have, in my belief, my opinion, is that when they go into creating content, they do it from a me first mentality. How do I make sure my stuff is seen? How do I throw content up there? In fact, sometimes I hear people talking about like things like content repurposing and being on platforms, and they're like, I just like throw stuff up there, or I just, you know, I take all of my Instagram posts and I throw them up in a YouTube collage, or like there's just all kinds of crazy mindset there, and I don't agree with that at all. And so my belief is that the truth is you have to put intentionality behind your content, and intentionality is going to, for the most part, help you to supersede any algorithm. That means if you know who you want to reach and you know what their experience is like, generally speaking. For example, you heard me talk about what my YouTube dashboard looks like. If I look at this and I suddenly see a video that's like the plastic surgery every single woman needs to get, I probably wouldn't watch that. And if I did, I would be so livid. I would like go crazy over it, if that makes sense. You want your content to show up in front of the people who are most likely to engage with it, who need it, not the people who you need, the people who need your content. And so when you step back from your needs as a business, as a brand, as an influencer, as a corporation, and instead stop and say, what do these people need today? What do my people need to hear? What is going to stand out for them in their feed? What is going to give them hope? What is going to help them to dream? What is going to make them feel amazing? What is going to challenge them? There's some serious tough love that can go into this. That is how you beat the algorithm, with intentionality behind the message that you have and for the specific people that you want to reach. So important. When you step away from your needs as a business and focus on the needs, desires, pain, dreams of the people that you serve, your content will consistently perform. And this is going really deep. If I was working with a skincare company, I would recognize that women struggle, mostly women, but men too, struggle with help. I've got these brown spots on my forehead. How do I get rid of them? Is my skin supposed to look like this? Why is it that I have like little broken capillaries around my nose? Like they're having all these questions and those questions are multifold. You want to dig deeper than just the question. What is the real question that they're asking? They're asking, am I worthy? Am I beautiful? Do I stand a chance against the girls that I see on magazines, Instagram, TikTok? Like, so ask yourself first, what do my people need? What are the questions that they're asking? And then you ask yourself, what is the real reason that they're asking these questions? When people ask me about business, like, hey, Rachel, how do I start my business? They're not really asking, how do I start my business? They're saying, can I do this? Can I follow my dreams? Is it possible? Is there a different way of life? Please, Rachel, tell me that there's a possibility. And so if I recognize that, yes, I can answer the surface level question with content, but I can also go deeper and say, listen, your dreams are not accidents. This isn't some weird little happy little coincidence, to kind of semi-quote Bob Ross. He's so great. Okay. When I recognize that, my content can be so on point that people say, like, you're in my brain. And now this is easier when oftentimes you have at some point identified with your ideal market. And if not, knowing someone who's in your ideal market or knowing someone who is like your person that reminds you of who you want to serve and why. Maybe it's your kid. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your best friend. Maybe it's your cousin. Like maybe it was a girl you went to school with and you really, really empathize for her. Like you have to think of a real life scenario to make it real. But when you couple this amazingly powerful content with real growth hacking strategies, this is a game changer. And the truth is, you guys, like this is how on many platforms we are dominating the conversation. I was just looking at our stats the other day and it's still so crazy to me and so exciting and incredibly humbling, but we reach 15 to 25 million people per month across social. That's pretty crazy. And it's, truth be told, it's neither because of growth hacking nor because of the purist viewpoint. It's because I recognize that both are equally valuable. And truth be told, if you believe in your message 100%, then some element of growth hacking can be helpful at times to help expedite the virality or the initial burst of energy or momentum into your brand. It's not hard for Gary Vaynerchuk to gain well over 1,000, probably what, 10,000 followers a day? That's not weird for him. He probably, honestly, some days gains like 50,000 across all platforms. I don't know his numbers. But it's not weird for him because momentum creates more momentum. There is a snowball that happens as you build on platforms. There is a snowball that happens when you find your 1,000 true fans. But in order to get that, we cannot discredit the very challenging season where you're trying to figure out two things. Both, how do I hack this program? How do I tap into this algorithm? But also, how do I create great content that hits the mark? And the only way to especially do the latter, to actually know if your content is hitting, is to get a lot of content out there. And so recently I started turning up the speed with which I'm putting out Instagram content, and I'm following a lot of strategies. But I mean, today I'm going to pull up my stats just so I have like the real numbers here, because it's kind of crazy to me, especially when at the beginning of this year I all but wrote off Instagram is dead. If I look at my insights from today alone, my net growth on Instagram is 833 followers. Yes, we've absolutely gone into a tipping point. Across the last 7 days, I've grown by 2,700, almost 2,800 followers. On the last 30 days, I've grown by 4,350, and it's spiking. And so that happens because of my willingness to put out a lot of stuff and recognize that not all of it's going to hit. And you know what? It might be 3 years before I consistently hit virals, but the truth is no one is meant to consistently grow day after day after day after day and have top engagement day after day after day after day. That's like pretending that you have to be some perfect peak performer all the time, and that's exhausting. Some stuff is going to hit, some stuff isn't. And then once a quarter, I recommend that you go back and really look at what was working and create your content categories from that content and those ideas, because that's what your audience really, really needed. And as long as it aligns with your brand, powerful things can happen. But you also, like I said, want to utilize the best practices for growth hacking. I would argue that putting out a lot of content is an element of growth hacking. I would argue that using great hashtags is an element of growth hacking the algorithm. I would also argue that asking a question in a caption to get more people to comment is absolutely growth hacking. And so there does come a point where you can say, awesome, my content is taking off organically by itself, whether or not I use hashtags, but especially before you reach 100,000, and even I would argue before you reach 1 million followers, I don't think that that's the norm. I think you have to do everything that you can to get momentum in the beginning and then begin to rely more on excellent content. But I'm always going to respect the algorithm and the growth hacking skills and that side of it. And so, like I said, we're going to be diving even deeper into some of those different aspects, the real tactics of every single platform, because I value you enough to care about your initial burst of growth. The first 1,000 followers are hard. The first 10,000 followers are the hardest. But it still is challenging until you hit a tipping point. And to not acknowledge that tipping point, I think is incredibly either privileged or enlightened. It could be either, depending on how you look at it. But I want to share with you guys the skills to get that momentum. But I also want to challenge you to create better content, because the truth is, no matter what the algorithm is, better content that resonates deeply with your audience will always win. If you want to work directly with me, I would invite you to apply for the Social Click, which is my highest level of mentorship mastermind. It's where I come in and coach directly, working with you, supporting you, and the entire community of the Social Click to scale your business. If you want to apply for the Social Click, go to clickforlife.com. That's clickforlife.com. I'll catch you guys in the next episode.